Hi everyone, it feels so good to be filming this talk here in the new entrance area of the building, which is now called the base. We can't wait to finally get the sign off for this place so we can start welcoming people to come and have a look around and then working out together what our future looks like with this great facility for us to use once more. I must confess at this point, I feel a little bit of trepidation doing a New Year talk in this moment in history and even perhaps in this week. This is the time in the calendar where we normally look back over all that's happened and we talk to the church about the future, about what we sense God is calling us to in the coming year. But as I look back, there's just so much in the last 12 months. I don't really know where to start. And as we look forward, it's so difficult to have anything concrete to say because even between filming this on Tuesday, which it is today, and being shown on the Sunday, we could have gone into another tier or even another lockdown in between. Looking back at 2020 though, we can genuinely say that we've never seen anything like this before. It used to be rude to say, oh, I wouldn't touch them with a 6-foot barge pole, but that's now government policy. You used to get arrested if you walked into a bank wearing a mask and asked for money. Now it's the rules. But on a slightly more serious note, our nation, our society, everything has been shaken to the core about who we are and about what's really important. And a lot of Christians and churches are asking some really deep questions of what is God doing? What is he teaching us through all of this? It really has been a full-on year, though. In Shrewsbury, that all started with the flooding, then the first wave of COVID and lockdown, and ending with the whole country in different grades of tiers. And even now, with the vaccine being rolled out, it could still be getting worse before it gets better. But God is good. He's been with us. He's sustained us. His grace is sufficient for us. There are many, many ways that we see him working in all of this. As I was praying into this, I felt God say to me and for the church that 2020, for so many reasons, most of which were out of our control, was the year of no and not yet. We lost significant uses of our building, our capacity to meet in person was turned upside down, and that left us stuck with so many things we couldn't do, so many things where we just had to say no or not yet. This time last year, I stood on the stage next to Omar Beckles, I don't know if you remember, and we shared our vision for a big outreach event using footballers. We'd set a date, we were ready to roll, and then everything else kicked off. And before we could rearrange stuff, both players who would have been involved had been transferred to other clubs, and that was that. So we started the year with what looked like a really wonderful window of opportunity, and it turned into a big no. But I felt God say to me, let 2021 be the year of yes and now, not no and not yet. As we look forward, it is true that the end game is in sight now, and the pendulum over the next few months of the church needs to shift to yes and to now. Not what we can't do, but what we can do. I'm certainly not suggesting that everything has been on ice in 2020. Far from it. Food Bank and other social action projects have continued to huge effect during this year. It's been amazing. What a fantastic response we saw recently to the Christmas hamper appeal. This coming year, with all the economic damage being done, the way it's affecting employment, the need is going to continue to rise. And we want to be there, ready. Those working on the front line have done such an amazing job this last year, being salt and light right in the middle of this crisis. I loved the testimony last week of the Barnabas member going to hospital during such a sad time and meeting another Barnabas member working there and being greeted by them. I just loved that faithful service on the front line, bringing blessing to other people. It's been such a privilege to witness the level of care shown to people within the church, especially within the midweek groups. I know for us as a family, it's been such a huge support to be in regular contact with our brothers and sisters in our group. The other day when it was that really loud storm overnight, I think I was up 9 times between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. with our 2-year-old. The next day, we asked our midweek group to pray. And the next night they slept from 6 p.m. till 7 a.m. Yes! But what encouraged us more wasn't the length of sleep really, but just in those moments where it's difficult and you don't know where to turn, there are people you can reach out to when it's tough and you know they'll pray. Parents have taken a really big step up this year, especially at the time the schools were closed and all that entailed, and it looks like that could happen once more. We've all had to learn to disciple our children without the same hands-on ministry that comes from bringing them to church every week. So it's been a big year for parents too. The teams who serve the children and the young people have been finding ways to continue to connect with them and bless them, which we heard about a couple of Sundays back. That's great. People have come to faith on Alpha. New people have moved to Shrewsbury and joined our church. There are people on our Zoom calls that I've never met in person. But behind all that, there have been very real struggles and difficulties with health, with circumstances, and we've known bereavement and loss. When you're a family, when you're a people, it's all there, the joy and the sadness, the successes and the setbacks. And I think one of the most fundamental questions this year has thrown up for lots of churches is this: is the church a program which people connect with, or is the church a people that the program supports? Every church has had to make tough decisions as to what can continue and what needs to pause. What are the priorities? What actually works on Zoom? Suddenly, really important parts of our program didn't exist, but all the people still did. I think many of us have discovered so much more about being a people together, supporting one another. But let's be honest, for some of us, it has been really, really isolated, especially those without the regular connection of Sunday meetings or midweek groups. I think the first challenge that I'm taking forward in 2020 on is for us to be a people that the program supports, not a program that the people support. In 2021, we're not just picking up the church rotors where we left off before COVID. No, we need to walk forward as a people into the purposes of God, what he has for us now. And bits of it might look different. We might need to change the shape of some things. Looking forward to the coming year, Gavin Calver from the Evangelical Alliance said this: the evangelical church in the UK might feel like we're looking at a scene too challenging to face, a hill we're not equipped to climb, but we've been rebuilding and serving society, seeking to create lasting change and social benefit for centuries. We can do it. And then he quoted the verse in Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." Amen to that for Barnabas Community Church this coming year. And he used the analogy of two halves of a football match. If 2020 was the first half where things have been really difficult, then in 2021 we need to come out all guns blazing and see what God does in the second half of this crisis. When it comes to opening scripture this morning, I felt very drawn back to the very bedrock of our faith and our call in God, to the instructions Jesus himself gave to his followers in Matthew 28, for them then and for the generations to come. Let this be what 2021 looks like, the kind of foundation that can't be cancelled if there's another lockdown, but is at the heart of our calling as a believer and as believers together. My hope, my prayer is out of this, God releases a new wave of creative ideas and energy in the life of the church. Matthew 28 from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The future for this band of believers was going to forever be defined by making, shaping, encouraging and releasing disciples of the Lord Jesus. That's the kind of test, if you like, or the definition that we want to have in front of us as we look at anything we want to start off this year or anything we want to pick back up this year. How is this helping towards the making, shaping, encouraging, and releasing of disciples of Jesus? A church program can run the risk of becoming about attending and consuming. For those leading it, there can be a danger that it becomes about delivering a service. Now everything has gone online. You can access all sorts of teaching from all over the world. You can hear amazing worship. There's so much great Christian content at our fingertips. And that's brilliant. It's a wonderful resource in the body of Christ. But it is different to disciples walking together and making, shaping, and encouraging and releasing disciples together. That's the call on the church. These verses are a call to go and do, not to sit and watch. Even if some of that going and doing is still on Zoom, it's not a passive thing that we consume. It's something that we're engaged in. Jesus is addressing them as individuals and as a community together. They would live this out together. And this passage contains many of the things you would expect to see in healthy church life. They see him and instantly they worship. Worship of the Lord Jesus is right at the centre of our 2021. When, how, who, in person or online, those are still open questions, but worship is absolutely central to the people of God. There's a call to go and be witnesses to this resurrected Christ with your friends, your families, in the spaces that God has put you. And many of us have had profound opportunities this year to reach out, to meet people, to get to know neighbours, to support our work colleagues, stuff that we never thought possible. Personally, we've got to know several local people through the Tin Tuesday food collections, as well as growing in our friendship with some elderly neighbours who we've tried to support. It's also true that some people seem to be really open at the moment to matters of faith. A friend of mine recently messaged me to say his mum was really ill, and I said that Esther and I would pray for them. So we sat down to pray at our dining room table and the doorbell rang and I opened it and it was my friend on his way home from the hospital. I said, "That's amazing. We were just inside praying for you." And he looked a bit shocked. And at that moment, I felt, you know, like that leap of faith inside. And I said, "Well, now you're here in person. Can I pray for you in person?" And he said, "Yes." So I stood in my front garden, socially distanced, and I prayed for him, I prayed for his mum, I prayed for their family. Two 40-year-old blokes in my front garden praying. That's never happened to me before, an opportunity like that. Reading on in the passage, and there's teaching, and it's so, so important that our faith is grounded in the truth of Scripture. When the storms come, goodness me, there's been storms. When the storms come, we will be secure. Something that I found this year is what I believe about Jesus appears more and more true by the week. The security of knowing and following the one who is above all of this is such a wonderful thing. I find it interesting here that it says not just teaching them so that they know, but teaching them so that they obey, that they actually put it into practice. So there's something really personal here about the choices that we make, about the attitudes that we have, about the way that we choose to obey and to follow Jesus. And I think this provokes us about our underlying attitude a bit. When we come to Christ, as we live as believers, have we asked Jesus to come and improve our lives a little bit? Or have we laid it all down before him and asked him to rule over all of it? Many of us have spent 2020 feeling pretty helpless in parts. There's so many things that we've not been able to do. But the one thing that we can always do is be obedient to the Lord Jesus. Homes, jobs, families, friends, obedient to live out this faith that we profess, even in and through a very real crisis. Not just saying, "Jesus, come and help me here," although he will, and that's really important, but saying, "Jesus, I'm living for you here." And as we live for him, he's with us, just as he promised. So in this community of believers that Jesus is forming, there's worship, there's witness, there's teaching, And there's this bubbling community of faith, and it's all centered around the good news of who he is and what he's done. That seems to be the heart of this discipleship that he talks about. So this is what we're aiming for in 2021, making, shaping, encouraging, and releasing disciples. And disciples of Jesus worship, they witness, they learn more about him so that they can obediently follow the Lord. In some ways, as things open up again later on in the year, hopefully, the church has a really unique window of opportunity, almost like a blank canvas, to build a new program that supports us as a people to fulfill this calling. In terms of response this morning, I want to ask you two questions. What is God putting on your heart for the church? And what is God putting on your heart for you? Let's start with you. What are your primary goals for this coming year? You might remember I said last year that my own personal focus had three key points: to help my mum move house, to walk with my friend through his terminal illness, and for Esther and I to continue with the adoption process. At the beginning of the year, that's what I felt God had given me for 2020. Now I look back and I can't quite believe how complicated that has all been. And yet I can definitely say that God has surely been with me, just as Jesus promised in the passage. And I know that because I know that I don't have the strength of character, I don't have the willpower or the grace to have walked any of that on my own. I found my own emotional well-being, my own mental health being tested like never before. And I found as I've drawn closer to God in it, I've gone to a new place in my reliance on him and his care for me. I feel like in my faith I've been stripped back to the ground level of simply relying on him day by day. As I look forward now to 2021, I don't have a similar set of things that I'm aiming for. Not yet. I think I'm still trying to process things a little bit. My focus recently has been these new little people in my house who call me daddy. But my intention is this week, actually, before this video goes live, I've set aside some time and I'm going to spend it with God. And I'm going to ask him, what is it that you have for me personally this year? Not for you guys listening, but what has he actually given to me? And can I appeal for you to do the same for you? And then we together, brothers and sisters, we can encourage one another in our discipleship, in our following of the Lord Jesus. What is God asking of you this year? Is it about your prayer life? It was so encouraging to hear from Steve last week about his time in the morning with God being so wonderful for him. Is it about your family? Whatever that means for you. Is it about your work life, whether that's the challenges of homeworking or being right there on the front line once more? Is that a real focus that God continues to give you in 2021? How can we as a church, how can your brothers and sisters around you equip you for that and support you in it? Is it to do with the teaching element and learning, maybe do the Bible through a year or some sort of course that can help with your understanding of the word? What does God have for you? What about your witness? What about the people that he's connected you with, the opportunities that may open up in 2021? Could it be about stepping out into something new, stepping up into leading something, or is it about carrying on faithfully where you are? What is he asking of you? And what about the church? Is God laying things on your heart for us? Things that will help us to make, shape, encourage, and release disciples of Jesus? Are there new things to step into? Do you have any good ideas, any creative ideas of things we can do? How do we as a church reshape ourselves for this changed world that we find ourselves in? As I think about that, three areas instantly come to mind to consider, and I'm sure there will be many more. The first is, with so much now going online and virtual, are there people who feel really stirred about learning how to use the cameras, the software, people who understand social media and how to connect to people through it, hosting and using Zoom? So much of the world is now online. So our witness, our community needs to be there too, if we're going to continue to live out this great commission. We've got some great people behind the scenes who've worked so, so hard to help us grow in this area. But if we're going to grow in it even more, maybe that's with the help of some of you listening today. Secondly, our midweek groups have been so important this year, but there are lots of people who aren't connected with one for whatever reason, so we clearly need to look at how we can connect more people to them and launch more midweek groups to make more space to help us continue to grow in our discipleship. Quite how they look or function in such a changing world is something we need to wrestle with. We don't need a shiny new strategy from America or anything like that, but we need to hear God's voice for us here and for now. We really do want everyone to be able to connect to some sort of group. If we're going to grow in making, shaping, encouraging, and releasing disciples, then groups of people we regularly meet with and journey life together with are right at the centre of how that happens. Our group leaders have been so wonderful this year, we owe them a great deal, and we need to look again at how we support our groups and invest in them. What ideas do you have? What things can you contribute? Let's open the conversation. And finally, as we do start to meet in person again, the COVID restrictions mean that there's going to be limited numbers allowed in one go. So there's always going to be people at home, especially if they're shielding. So there'll still be Zoom going on. But we also have a real opportunity to get creative in meeting in person outside of Sunday mornings. What ways of connecting could there be? Of course, that's going to be limited by whatever regulations there are at the time, but let's have a season of new things we can do, not old things we can't do. One thing that strikes me is for those of us with smaller kids, how can we connect as families and help one another as we disciple our children? There are ways of connecting on Zoom already, which is great, but it'll be very complicated to do kids groups in meetings for a while yet. So we're not asking any more of the children's workers who are already doing so much, but us as parents or others with a real heart for children, could we get creative and take ownership of ways that we can connect as families together? There are kids now for whom being part of a gathered church is becoming more and more a distant memory. They don't have the same bank of experiences that us older believers do. So we really need to consider what we can do to help them grow in their discipleship. Is there anyone out there with a vision or an idea or something like that? Let's talk. A final point is the wonderful opportunity presented by an Alpha course coming up. Many people are more open than ever. A Zoom course is easier to get to than ever before, so let's give it a go and invite people. At the start of last year, I made the point about us needing to revamp our main hall a bit. It was looking a bit dated and the tech needed improving. No one expected the flooding, and when that happened, I certainly didn't initially see it as a way that we could radically improve and develop the centre, including the main hall. But somewhere in the difficulty and the confusion of the circumstances of 2020, we have found the provision of God in quite an amazing way, which you'll see when you come. God then spoke to us about this entrance area and the merging of our church ministry and social action projects during the week through the way we use this space here. And I'm standing here right now almost as a prophetic act to say, out of the difficulties of the year, out of the challenges, God is birthing a new thing. He's leading us. And this very room here at the front of our building is overwhelming evidence that God will work all these things together for the good of those who love him. So 2021, we don't know what is in store for us, but we do choose a path of faithful obedience, both individually and together to our Lord Jesus Christ, who will lead us through. This all requires a lot of prayer and reflection. One of our desires is that we open the building, and when we do, one of the first things we do is going to be a prayer event. I'm just going to ask those questions once more, though. What is he asking of you in a personal sense? And what is he asking of you for the sake of the wider church? Let's hear his voice and then walk in obedience, both individually and together. Amen.